We're talking about processing trauma through exercise in a Milwaukee pilot program to empower women through movement. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Trauma-informed martial arts programs are on the rise, and they offer survivors more of a sense of power and control. Do you practice martial arts? Do you powerlift or appreciate kickboxing classes? How have these programs changed the way you think about your body? Do you release emotionally when you do high-intensity interval training? Join in 800-642-1234. Amber Tucker is an assistant professor of sociology at Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee, where she is part of the Restorative Justice in Movement research team, and she practices and teaches jiu-jitsu. Amber, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Hi, thank you for having me on.
Good morning. So introduce us to the program Restorative Justice in Movement.
Restorative Justice in Movement is a pilot program and also a funded research project by Marquette University. We're funded by the Institute for Women's Leadership and the President's Challenge for Racial Justice and Equity Response. It is a collaboration of researchers between Cardinal Stritch, where I am, and Marquette University. And it is a program where we run clinics, introductory clinics to jiu-jitsu, rock climbing, and powerlifting. And these are just all different ways of thinking about, we don't necessarily refer to it as exercise, just movement modalities. And so just a way to offer different ways of thinking about movement and how body movement, the connection between the mind and body, specifically related to like movement exercise, can help restore or help people process trauma.
When I think about martial arts or powerlifting or rock climbing, you have to trust and you have to get comfortable with movement in your body. Do you think that that's what sets this apart?
Yes. There are so many different benefits. There's emerging research on the benefit of martial arts. I know that there is. I'm connected with a woman in New Zealand, and she's working with like 20 people around the world, and they're working on building trauma-informed martial arts programs. But there has been some newer research that looks at the benefits of jiu-jitsu specifically, and they've been working with combat veterans with PTSD. And so the minimal research that's out has shown that there has been some reported improvements in overall mental health with jiu-jitsu. So specifically with jiu-jitsu, the other martial arts programs absolutely offer the same benefit, because the idea is restoring the connection between the mind and body that is often lost in the experience of trauma. You know, one of the common experiences, reported experiences, or description of what it's like after the experience of trauma is this loss of sense of self or sense of control over the body, because during the experience of trauma, you know, that's one of the disempowering aspects, is that you lose a sense of control over that moment and over yourself. I personally have experienced multiple forms of trauma, and I just anecdotally can speak to that experience. So that's how I would describe it. After some incidents, I was angry with myself because I didn't respond in the way that I wanted to respond. Instead, I responded automatically, which often happens during trauma. Our responses to high stress or crises or traumatic incidences are automatic. And so for me, my automatic response was freeze. And I was very upset after a couple of trauma incidents with myself, because I that's not the response I wanted to have. And through practicing martial arts, I was able to restore that sense of control over my body. And in fact, reprogram, it's the fight, flight, or freeze response that's automatically hardwired wired into our brain for survival. And I was able to rewire that response so that now my trauma response is fight and not freeze.
It sounds like you also gained confidence and assertiveness, and suddenly, or over time, you knew what your body was capable of doing.
Yes, absolutely. So jiu-jitsu, it's a sport. It's practiced as a combat sport. And so we think about sports. I think one of the things that may deter people from participating in it is the idea of athleticism and strength. And what I learned through jujitsu is that it is an intellectual sport. It's mat chess. Like, you have to, you know, anticipate the responses and moves ahead of time when you're practicing or sparring with another person. And so that ability to be able to, you know, think in a high stress situation. When we're in class and we're sparring, we put ourselves in high stress situations every day. And so over time, you learn to slow down and actually think rather than responding out of fear or a loss of a sense of control or safety. So for jujitsu specifically, that has helped me. And the confidence that you receive, the confidence that I received from it was because I was able to trust my body again. I was able to trust my body that it would do what my mind wanted my body to do. You know, sometimes after trauma, the disconnect between your mind and your body, your mind thinks one way, but your body responds the other way. Well, it helps to restore that connection because your mind and your body have to work together in order for you to have a great experience in training jujitsu.
We're talking with Amber Tucker, who is an assistant professor of sociology at Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee, part of the Restorative Justice in Movement research team that we're learning about. You can join in. What do you want to know about how these movements can affect trauma and mental health and that recovery? How has exercising helped you get through difficult times in your life? Join in at 800-642-1234. Amber, how are participants responding to these clinics? What have they told you?
So we do, my research team consists of Dr. Noelle Brigden from Marquette and Dr. Heather Havlicka from Marquette, and then Dr. Jennifer Oldendorf from Marquette, and also Madeline Wright, who assists us on our research project. So we do participatory action research. So we're actually in there in the clinics with the participants, participating with them. And so with that upfront and close observations, some of the impactful comments or feedback that I received from the women, I know, for example, we were doing a powerlifting clinic. And the first cycle that we ran this summer, we did an intergenerational project. So we were working with women and their children. Hmm. And there was a mother and a daughter and a teen daughter, and in the powerlifting clinic, we were doing deadlifts. And so when it was the daughter's turn, everyone, and especially the mother, she was, you know, cheerleading and encouraging. It's just like, you can do this, you can do this. And then so when she did one repetition of a deadlift, she was so excited and she clapped. And then when it was her turn to do it, she was hesitant. And she was like, oh, I don't know if I could do this. And so we tried to offer the same, including her daughter, with the same encouragement and support that she was providing for the other women and for her daughter. And I thought that was really interesting that when it came to her, that she was more hesitant to go do the repetition. Like, there was almost not a sense of confidence or belief in herself that she could do it. And so with some gentle kind of goading, she did it. And she did it, and it was beautiful. And we all just stopped and clapped and cheered. And she looked at herself, and there was a mirror. She looked at herself, and she said, I did it. I did it. And that was just so impactful. That was one of the greatest takeaways for me, was restoring that belief back into yourself. And so when we talk about our research, one of the researchers mentioned, and this comes out in trauma studies, especially using like things like exercise and movement, is again that mind and body connection. And then also for women in particular, you know, when we think about sports, again, like, we have this very masculine perspective that sports is all about strength and physicality, but like reframing the way that we think about strength and who's considered to be strong. What I've learned from Dr. Noelle Brigden, who's a powerlifter, and she also does trauma-informed powerlifting, and the ideas about what kinds of bodies do we consider to be strong. And in the powerlifting world, like, you know, some of the strongest women in the world don't look like our typical conceptions of what strength is. That is very muscular, you know, very muscular physiques. But these are some of the strongest women in the world who are winning powerlifting competitions at a global level. And so it completely reframes our idea about what is strength. And jujitsu is exactly that, because it's not really based on strength. It's focused on technique. Strength does help. But for women, it's what I've noticed is a little bit of a different experience when they start jujitsu, and including myself, because you do have that conception that strength means physicality and muscularity. But when we come to jujitsu and you look at some of the top competitors in the world, especially amongst the women, they're very small. Their physiques are very small.
And we're going to get into talking about your journey with jujitsu. Sociologist Amber Tucker combines her mixed martial arts background to empower women. Are you living with trauma? Do you feel comfortable going to a gym? Are there exercise skills you wish you had? What questions do you have about transforming painful emotions into confidence, into assertiveness? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Amber Tucker here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring the Restorative Justice in Movement program on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, jujitsu, as we've been learning, is much more than just combative martial arts. It's being used to help women in their recovery from trauma. Have you learned martial arts and rediscovered something inside of you? Did learning jujitsu make you less afraid of something you carry with you in your life? 800-642-1234. Cardinal Stritch University sociologist Amber Tucker is a mixed martial artist, and with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring on a caller now. Jean is joining us from Glenflora. Jean, hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What is your story?
Well, I'm 70 years old, and I have starting to have some problems with arthritis. Well, actually, I've had them for quite a few years, but they were minor. But I've had quite a few minor accidents along the way, wear and tear on the body, and I can't lift heavy weights anymore, or it's hard to practice explosive martial arts training. But I wanted to mention Tai Chi as an option for older people with arthritis, particularly Sun Tai Chi. Tai Chi originated as a martial art many centuries ago in China, and all the concentration skills, all the balance skills, all the training skills are employed there. It can be either individual or group. I practice in both, it's just very helpful for mental strength and for balance. And also, the training for strength is isometric. It's very gentle, but it's really nice for older people who may have some physical problems that limit their ability to really do explosive types of martial art.
Yes, Jean, thank you so much for bringing Tai Chi into the conversation. Amber, Jean is saying it's for concentration and mental strength. What do you hear about Tai Chi?
Absolutely. I practiced it for a little while in my early days before I really got involved into other forms of martial arts, and I absolutely agree. Like I said, there's just been some newer research on that specifically focused on jujitsu, but I mentioned the other martial arts as well, and I think it's the idea between the mind and body connection and thinking about strength differently and what that means for different bodies and different people. Notions of strength don't all have the same universal meaning. They mean something differently. And so absolutely, it's that trauma experience that disconnects your mind from your body, where your body does one thing, but your mind does the other. And so any form of mindfulness practice like meditation or martial arts, I think, is really helpful in restoring that connection.
Let's bring on Emily now in Madison. Hi, Emily.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I listen to this every morning. It's really exciting.
Oh, thank you, Emily. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I'm really interested to hear how I can help my mom get movement into her life. I know she deals with trauma, but it's not like disclosed about what. So she's so disconnected from her body, and I want to support her, and I'm going to be seeing her over the holidays, and it's such a touchy topic for us, exercise.
Emily, thank you so much. Amber, what would you suggest?
And it doesn't necessarily have to be movement exercises. So I also practice mindfulness. I do meditation and I do yoga. And there's research, a lot more research around that, about mindfulness practices like meditation and yoga that also helps in trauma recovery. So that's one way to approach it. If exercise or movement forms seem like that's not the right thing for right now. That kind of stuff. And then also, you know, therapy. But one of the things I can say in working with trauma survivors and as a survivor of trauma is that, you know, people sometimes and not always will come to tell their stories or disclose. And sometimes people just live with it. And so, you know, I think that that's, you bring up something really interesting. How do the people who have relationships with people who are trauma survivors, how can we support those people in supporting the people in their lives that experience trauma? So that is I'm really glad that you brought that up, because it sounds like there is something that we have to think about people who are supporting those people, relationships, you know, children or, you know, siblings or just family members. And how can we support people in that kind of way? What kind of resources can we give them to help them if they're not even at the point where, you know, the acknowledgement of trauma is possible?
It sounds too that your intergenerational clinics might help inform that, as well as you see those interactions between mothers and daughters.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and I'm not sure of any other types of programs that would include the intergenerational work, but we specifically focus on intergenerational work because, you know, trauma is not just held within one person in the family, and it passes down through generations. It impacts the way that we, women specifically, while we work with mothers, it impacts the way that you mother. It impacted the way that I mother. But I was personally at a place where I was able to, it took me a long time, you know, it took me 30 plus years to even acknowledge the fact that I was dealing and coping with trauma before I started to do something about it. So just the ability to be able to acknowledge it, I think, is an important step. And that's also a source of strength too. And so people will come into their own when they're able to share that. But, you know, you can offer other alternatives to exercise and movement like meditation or yoga. Yoga is a very gentle way to still be able to do some work on the body and also kind of work through those things like reestablishing the mind-body connection. So maybe you can offer up some trauma. You can go, you know, or offer up yoga. You can go to YouTube, and there are some great people during the pandemic. I taught myself yoga on YouTube, and now I go to actual yoga classes, so maybe that could be an option.
We're talking with Amber Tucker, who is an assistant professor of sociology at Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee, as we look closer at the Restorative Justice and Movement program. Amber, how did jiu-jitsu come into your life? Could you tell us the story?
Absolutely. I've always been into fitness, and I've kind of trained myself, you know, over time, just going to the gym. And I was looking for a new way to exercise or to move. And the gym that I'm at now is a mixed martial arts academy, but they had a fitness program for women, and they would have the fighters teach it. And the classes ended, and the owner suggested that we move over to the traditional classes. And I looked over at those classes and I saw the close body contact, and I was like, I don't think I could do it. And later I ended up doing it, and I got a better workout out of training in the classes than taking the actual fitness class. And then after a couple years, I just started with striking, with kickboxing, and I would see the people doing jiu-jitsu. It's ground combat. There are people on the ground on top of each other. It's co-ed. And that, you know, kind of freaked me out a little bit. And, you know, someone had said to me, you should think about jiu-jitsu. You can probably defend yourself standing up, but what happens if you go to the ground? And more than likely, you know, with small people or women, that's sometimes where the fight happens, is on the ground. And so jiu-jitsu is so empowering. I teach a women's only jiu-jitsu program. And whenever new women join the gym, I tell them, you know, of course, all the martial arts offer the same kind of benefits in terms of confidence and self-awareness and sense of self-safety. But what's so powerful about the jiu-jitsu is we fight on our backs. So the fight isn't over when we're on our backs. You know, we can do, you know, different techniques that can choke you, put you to sleep, that can break your limbs on your back. And so it's so empowering to see some of the women and even the smaller children. I teach a class on Friday nights where the children from the jiu-jitsu class come over, and I have to warn the adults that these 7 and 8 year olds are more they're more dangerous than the other adults. And it's so interesting to see like some of the new people that come in, and they don't take me seriously. And the next thing I know, they're complaining about one of the kids. And I was like, does, but that's what jiu-jitsu does. It's really for all body types and all levels. I compete too. I'm a competitor. And with something super powerful, I was at a tournament this summer, and we had people competing in these highly ranked, like, international, national tournaments who had complete losses of vision. Mm. They're blind competitors. And they still were, you know, and they were at the competition level. So it's a very intense level. And so that really reaffirms my belief and faith in the power of martial arts being adaptable too. You know, and again, that our research is focusing on that idea of like what bodies, what is our notion of like what's a healthy body, what's a strong body. And it's not the stuff that we see on TV and in magazines.
Well, Amber, we'll be watching this research. Thank you for joining us. Amber Tucker is an assistant professor of sociology at Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee, part of the Restorative Justice in Movement research team. Coming up, we meet the mayor of Dodgeville. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.